We're turning to our Bibles again to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verses 1 through 12. Let's hear the Lord's word as we come to this passage. John 8 verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us on our program. And today we're going to this passage, John chapter 8, where we read of the sinful woman who was told to go and sin no more. What a great line, what a great testimony this is, that the Lord Jesus tells his converts, go and sin no more. Now, of course, that will not be fully realized until we're in heaven. Down here on earth, we do seek to be separate from sin and live new lives by the power of the gospel. But we do not reach sinless perfection here in this world. But praise God, we can have victory and we can have a new life in Christ Jesus. I hope that you're encouraged these days in spite of this dreaded virus that just seems lingering on and on and on. And we need constant victory in the Lord to be overcomers through the Lord Jesus. I keep hearing about people who are suffering mentally due to this lockdown and the restrictions, and I can fully understand that. But thankfully, the Christian has a release, a place of comfort and assurance in that we have the Lord with us, we have the Lord's promises, and whether we live or die, it is with Christ, and we have this great assurance of eternal life. What a difference that makes, and it certainly delivers us from the fears and the concerns. And I trust that today the Lord will minister to your heart bless you abundantly, and give you the joy of his great salvation. So let's turn in our Bibles now to John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery and told to go and sin no more.
Would you please turn back to the passage we read in John chapter 8, and we're going to look at this event of the marvelous release of a woman taken in the act of sin and sent, delivered from that terrible, terrible guilt. Saved to sin no more really sums up this woman's testimony. And of course, it is the testimony of all Christians. And when we came to the cross and we put our faith in the Lord Jesus, this was the command: go and sin no more. Now, this will be ultimately true when we get to heaven. When we get through those pearly gates and enter into the presence of God, there will be no more temptation, no more sin around us, and praise God, there'll be no more sin within us. And that we will shout hallelujah. It will be a blessed place to live and dwell with God. But here in this earth, all Christians are called to forsake sin. And praise God, we're not only called to do it, but we're given power to do it, because the Holy Spirit, whose very name describes his office, he's the Holy Spirit. And when he lives within your heart, he will make you holy and give you true, godly, and holy desires. Now, the Bible is replete with people who got the victory over sin, whose lives were dramatically changed from the gutter of wickedness to a life of honorable testimony to the saving power of the Lord Jesus. And I think this woman that we're looking at here today, this woman in John 8, is an outstanding example. She was a very hopeless case. She was condemned by men. According to the law, she ought to have been stoned. She was taken in the very act. There was no excuse, no way out. She was truly guilty. And therefore, according to customs and the law, she would have been stoned. There was nobody to plead her case. Well, not until the Lord Jesus was there. And those who committed, found her in this act, and the very person with whom she committed adultery, there was not a voice of pity, compassion, or any other voice until she stood alone with the Lord Jesus that very day. Without grace, every one of us would be hopeless cases, because every one of us, in one way or another, have broken the 10 laws of God. That summary of the will and law of God: to love God only, have no idols, to honor his name, to honor parents. And as we think of our own childhood, oh, how guilty we are. To not have a thought to steal, not to have an adulterous thought, to not commit telling lies, coveting. I think I missed one there along the way somehow, but all of those commands, every one of us are guilty. And therefore, we need a Savior. Just like this woman on that day when she was to be stoned, the only hope that she could find, the only way out, was in the marvelous grace of the Son of God. Now, in verse 12, you'll see why. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, of course, we think of the sun and we think of the daylight, but this is a reference to the hope that Christ brings to the darkness of sin. He is the light, the one who gives hope to sinners and guilty, and those that are lost. Did you know that in modern Bible versions, this whole account is relegated to antiquity? They would omit it. They would leave it out. I see many problems with that. I would never know what verse 12 would mean, why it would even be entered in at this point where Jesus said, I am the light of the world, if you were to erase the first 11 verses of John chapter 8. And I believe that that statement, Jesus is the light of the world, is premised upon that event and the wonderful freedom and the liberty that that guilty woman found through the intervention and the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now, let us take up today the result of this interview of the Lord with this woman. After men had run from the light. Now, we don't know what Jesus wrote on the ground. There are some who, through many Old Testament scriptures, would give ideas and options, but we don't fully know what the Lord wrote on the ground. As men looked at those writings, they began to walk away. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And one by one, beginning with the oldest, and I thought about that. Why was it the oldest men who walked away first? Well, they certainly would have been well versed in the meaning of whatever the Lord wrote. And they would have been the leaders, the one who were calling others to join in. And when they walked, the younger men walked as well, until there was no one left but this woman and the Savior standing together. And we know the account where the Lord asked the woman, doth any man condemn thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And his response was, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I want to take up this account to let the gospel shine. I think that's a good word in light of Jesus' statement, I am the light of the world. There are many people in this world who are burdened by guilt, the guilt of sin. And if they turned to the law and to men, they would be condemned and banished and hopeless. But praise God, we have a marvelous Savior, and he comes to set sinners free. And I want to address, firstly, the principle of Jesus' words, go and sin no more. Christ's forgiveness in that statement, neither do I condemn thee, came before he sent her away. Pardon, justification, the thought of cleansing preceded sending her away to go and live a new life of sinning no more. And that's always the gospel principle. You don't send a person to go and clean up their life. They'll never do it. They will never be able to change their ways or overcome temptation and get the victory. Everyone is a slave to sin. And it is not until you go to the cross and you say to a person, go to the cross, go to Christ and find pardon and forgiveness, and then you are called to go and sin no more. Now, we need this principle of forgiveness first, because by human nature we are indeed slaves to sin. Imagine that woman going off to sin no more, as she was told, with all the guilt and the burden of what she had done. The memory of it, the shame of it, the indignity of it. How could she have looked anyone in the eye? How could she have ever held her head up? How could she ever get on with life unless she truly knew that she was pardoned by the grace of the Lord? And we need this principle of forgiveness first, because liberty comes through cleansing at the cross. In this, the Lord was saying, the only way that I can help you is to bear your sins for you. Now, the Lord, of course, understood his death, his work as a redeemer. And he was making this statement, neither do I condemn thee, on the very premise that her sins would be laid on him. And in that, she would enjoy marvelous and blessed forgiveness. I hope everyone here today has read at some point the book John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't read it, you should read it today. Get a copy. You probably find it online. You'll find, Google it, you'll get it. John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, the story of the man who set out from the city of destruction to find the eternal city, heaven. And of course, along the way, he fell into the slough of despond. And what John Bunyan was teaching is that even though men have all the good intentions of changing their life and making themselves ready for heaven, they'll only bog down into the gutter of sin. Now, Pliable, who was his friend, and when they fell into the slough of despond, he went back. He gave up. He threw away religion. He threw away the idea of one day finding heaven. And then came along Evangelist and said to Christian, go to the cross. Go to the hill called Calvary. And there that burden that is upon your back will roll away. And so out of the slough of despond, Pilgrim made his way to Calvary. And for every Christian, that is the place called Go. You know the game of Monopoly? You must get on Go before you can do anything else. Well, that's the start of a Christian life for every sinner. You start at the cross. You start with forgiveness, mercy, and grace. All your works, all your attempts, all your efforts, all your resolutions will only bring you deeper into the slough of despond. You will end up a failure. You must firstly go to the cross. Now here also in this, we see the power to go and sin no more. How could this woman possibly do it? If she had been weak before, tempted into lust and to terrible sin, what would enable her to say no in the future? Well, after the cleansing work of the cross comes the constraint of Christ's love. What a debtor this woman was to the Lord Jesus. All others would have thrown stones to destroy her, but the Lord lavished his love upon her and said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And of course, it is the love of Christ that we find at Calvary that constrains us to live the Christian life. Why do we say no to sin? Why do we break off the habits of the world and its iniquities? Because the love of Jesus is in our hearts. We enjoy his mercy. We enjoy his love flowing in us. And there is, to every born-again Christian, the power of Calvary love. You know what I mean. You've been there, haven't you? You've been to the cross. You've gone as a sinner to Jesus. And there comes into your heart that inner blessed life of the love of the Savior within your heart. And so it is an inner love. It's a jealous love. We love the name of the Lord Jesus. Every Christian does. Every believer that is indwelt by the Spirit loves the name of Jesus and, of course, the whole person behind that name. Everything about our Lord we love. We love that he is God in the flesh. We love that he came into the world in our nature. We love his purity of life. We love his teachings. We love his written word, and we love his commands. We love the promises that he gives to us. We love the fellowship with his people. And when something attacks the name of Jesus, it's a jealous love. I have to say it. When you're born of God, you are a new person in Christ. There is an inner jealousy that rises up to guard the Lord. That's why you don't want false worship. That's why you don't want to be an idolater. That's why you don't want to break his commands. You want to be in fellowship and in step with the Lord. Now, three times the Lord spoke to Peter about his denial. And I know Peter comes up a lot in preaching, but what kind of a minister would I be if I did not commonly refer to Peter because of the marvelous recovery that he enjoyed in his life from a denier of the Lord? But the point of his recovery was all about his love for the Lord Jesus. When the Lord interviewed him and said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" Three times, "lovest thou me?" And that's the question. And that's the power of the gospel. That every true Christian has an inner, amazing love for the Lord Jesus. And it's that love in our hearts that empowers us. And it enables us to say no to everything that denies the Lord. And it enables us to strive after those things that bring glory and honor to his wonderful name. I hope that you are being described as I say those things, that that's real in your life. Whatever your walk in life is, at home, you want your home to be a place that honors the Lord. Raising your children, you want to check those things that are contrary to the grace and the goodness and the love of the Savior. When you mingle with the ungodly and you hear their blasphemies, it deeply grieves you. It offends you. And that's what enables this woman guilty of sin, to go and to sin no more. And this love grows deeper and stronger with the years of Christian living. And that's the great marvel of it. It's not just a thing of a day and a sudden little conversion that lasts for a flash in the pan, but it strengthens, it grows, it deepens. And if you can say today you love the Lord Jesus, surely you love him more now than ever before. "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign." And that command, "go and sin no more," was with the conviction of Christ's love within our heart. And you know, it answers all the accusations of the world and all the contentions of the world. I have this amazing inner love of the Lord Jesus.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian, and I thank you for the opportunity of ministering the Lord's Word again today. What a wonderful thing when we dwell upon the power of the gospel. I'm reading here in one of my very favorite books, Knight's Master of New Illustrations, and it in the heading, "Forgiving Others," there is the wife of a Zulu chief attended a Salvation Army meeting and heard and responded to the call of Jesus. When her husband heard of this, he forbade her to go again on pain of death. However, eager to hear more about Jesus, she dared to go, and when her husband knew of this, he met her on her return journey and beat her so savagely that he left her for dead. By and by, his curiosity moved him to go back and look for her. She was not where he had left her, but he noticed broken twigs and found her lying under a bush. Covering her with his cruel eyes, he leered, "And what can your Jesus Christ do for you now?" She opened her eyes and looked at him, said gently, "He helps me to forgive you." And yes, that is one of the mightiest powers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to enable us to forgive even our enemies. And how the Lord Jesus exhorted us to pray for our enemies and those who despitefully use us. This is something that mere morality cannot do. There needs to be the deep, deep love of the Lord Jesus burning in our hearts, love for souls, love for sinners, and for power to be overcomers through the Lord Jesus. I wonder, are you an overcomer? Have you a mighty victory in your life where the Lord says, go and sin no more? And the wonderful thing is, he not only commands you to do it, but he gives you the power to do it. And you might say, but I could never give up my sins. I could never give up my bad habits. And that is true. You couldn't, but Jesus can, and he can give you the grace and the victory to overcome those things. And so I plead with you to give your life and heart to the Lord Jesus. Trust him, and he will change you from the inside out, because he gives us a new heart, a heart of flesh. That means a heart that deeply and tenderly loves the Lord and the truths of the Lord. And even though you may have a wicked heart and a sinful heart, the Lord can give you a new heart, a heart that truly loves the Lord and desires to honor him. So thank you for joining with us. May the Lord bless you through his word. Stay encouraged and stay with us for these closing announcements. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that I can be of personal help to you if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, and of course, if you can read the Bible, go to the Bible. That's the key need as you would seek God's salvation. And I would recommend John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel. Pray the Lord will open your mind and heart to understand the way of salvation. In these times of fear and almost panic in our land, this is the true place to find peace. We are called to prepare to meet our God, but we need to know the Savior, and you need to call upon him to save you from your sins. I also want to invite you to join with us each day at this time for these programs on your local station. I also want to invite you on Sundays to listen in to our webcast from our Free Presbyterian Church. These are online services by webcast. Now go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, Pacific time, here in Greater Vancouver, and go to cloverdalefpc.ca. And at 10:30 and 6 p.m. local time here in Vancouver, you can join us for our online services. Now, my cell number is 604-897-2040. And I look forward to hearing from you. Give me a call, send me an email, let me know you're tuning in. May God bless you through his word.